Was this D&D party wrong to call the police, refusing call to adventure? I was excited to have my regular group try a Call of Cthulhu one-shot. I had hosted a few COC games before, just not for this group. This was also the first time our forever DM, the one from all my other stories, was a player character. I spent hours on prep and felt like a fucking idiot. The party were all college professors whose colleague had gone missing. They went to his office and found a bunch of evidence, sending them to various leads. Specific names and addresses, handout letters I made, puzzles to solve, the usual plot hooks. The other players start pouring through the evidence and picking up names when Forever DM says, "This is a crime scene. I call 911. 911 will not exist for almost 40 years. Then we should leave without touching anything and go to the police station. I reiterate there's no evidence a crime occurred. It's a normal office and they're ruffling through papers. There's no evidence of foul play yet. Moreover, forensics is a new field at this time, and they would not be familiar with evidence procedure." The other players agree that talking to police is what their character would do. So I break character to tell them they can explore the police as an option, but the adventure will inevitably require them to pick up the pieces. When they get to the police station, I describe drunks, hookers, and mobsters awaiting processing. There's no direct evidence the guy is missing or in danger, and his wife hasn't reported him missing. Police don't give them the time of day. The police tell them to check in with the wife if they're concerned, and they give the party a home address. The party doesn't do anything with this. I even have them do an idea roll to tell them to go to the address. Forever DM says, "I open a phone book and find the number of a private detective." The story takes place in New Orleans, so I can't say there's no detective nearby. Instead, I try to price them out of it. The detective is only interested in cheating couples. He asks for $50 a week. The party members each make $20 to $40 a week, so he's asking for about half their total income. Forever DM says everyone can pool their money together, and the others shrug and go along with it. At this point, the gears start turning for how I can pivot this back to the adventure and raise the stakes, so I go along with it. The detective takes their case and says he'll give an update in a week. The party does nothing in this time. A week later, the professor is still missing. The party calls the detective, but he doesn't answer the phone. The next day, they go to his office to give him the next payment. The window is smashed and the door is cracked. The room was tumbled. They find all the evidence from the professor's office strewn about the room. Some notes from the detective that gives them some direct next steps, mentioning a specific archaeology artifact, a location, and person of interest, hint hint, but no sign of the detective. I thought this would push the party to investigate now that they were essentially out of options, and right back where they started. I gave them another idea roll, and directly told them to follow up with person of interest at the museum. The Forever DM says, "This is officially above our pay grade. Now we definitely need to go to the police station to report." I looked to the rest of the other two party members, since they had acquiesced to his reasoning. I told them in a meta sense that this isn't going anywhere. If they don't pick up the pieces, there's no adventure. Forever DM literally says, "It's what my character would do." I told the party that this is the game, and the characters need to be willing to take risks or accept the call to adventure. If they don't, then we're done. The Forever DM says, "I just don't see the hook. I don't see what's supposed to drive a college professor to accept this kind of danger. I think I'd like to end it here." And that was it. I did a week of prep, handwrote notes, made maps, etc. to have our Forever DM give me the runaround, and yanked my chain after directly telling him and the other players to play the game twice. Afterward, the other two players told me they didn't feel they, the players, were clever enough to solve the case, especially since the combat isn't as cartoonish as 5e. So I retorted that they didn't even try, and that I had given them multiple idea rolls to give them direction. So we closed the books and played Munchkin instead. I was incredibly embarrassed. Maybe there is a reason they are a Forever DM. Here's another story about a Forever DM finally getting the chance to play. I'm the Forever DM for my friend group for over 1 year now, and up until that session I've been played a total of 2 times. Once alone with my girlfriend learning to DM me an LMOP, and a second time in a just silly one-shot from one of my players. This third time was run in the setting Savage Worlds by a longtime good friend. Let's call him A, an RPG lover but somewhat D&D hater. Joined by his and my girlfriend, as well as that player who DM'd the silly one-shot. Now, this was the first time I've participated in something serious, properly prepared for a week by A, and so in character creation I put thought and a good bit of serious humor in my character. Out of excitement, the ideas didn't stop, and I had a proper backstory just like that already. a half-orc high-intelligence aspiring professor for wildlife, and Fauna with a typical Disney-esque smart professor, thinking about the Tarzan one personality, and I was pumped to roleplay. Session is full of RP with only a small encounter in the end, and I start off right away engaging in what's happening, roleplaying and describing my character's actions with a clear idea what he'd do in certain situations. Even if it's suboptimal, use a little accent and lots of personality. After just 45 minutes to 1 hour in, I start getting some looks from across the couch, player as well as from A, but I didn't think about it. I had the time of my RPG life, but it became pretty obvious that my character isn't really liked by the way I play him. But I stick to it, that's the character. Plot, seek wizard, persuade for teleport, marks us with the teleport symbol and off we go. A. After teleportation, other player name's character starts laughing while looking at you. You start smelling something slightly, burned. The teleportation symbol on your forehead did not vanish like the others. It's still there, burned on your forehead in Elvish, which other player can read and basically says idiot, asshat, dork, something in that matter. My enjoyment up until then has already lowered somewhat due to some reactions and looks I've gotten. Well, now I was somewhat disappointed, punishing me for playing my character as my character. Shortly afterwards, A paused the session for a minute to tell me that it's somewhat annoying how I take the enjoyment from all the others, grabbing the spotlight and just being too much. Not in private, though. Right there at the table. I did agree, though, apologizing that I'm just excited to play the game. Getting to explore a new rules setting and really fucking love to roleplay. I do try to include the other players, too. But I know from when I run that they aren't always comfortable or as invested in the roleplaying. After this little intermission, I was pretty much silent for the rest of the session, letting everyone else do the talking, or at least A's girlfriend that took the lead from there, following mostly silently and hitting one wolf in combat. At the last stretch of the session, I did try to use my character, but tried my hardest to be less. I guess I was energetic, but it wasn't the same. Did I ruin it for everyone? Should I have just chilled and RP'd way less? All I know is that I'm doubting ever playing a character again, because my choice of character is annoying and too loud, but that's how I like to design them, and enjoy it the very most. The final story is about a GM steamrolling their party after the party tried to play around a not great idea. This is a tale of the greatest steamrolling fanfic-style GMing I've ever seen. The party had been in town for 2 sessions, and had spent most of those 2 sessions listening to the GM and 2 players roleplay shopping, excruciatingly detailed shopping. Finally, in the 3rd session, the party left to find an abandoned village located in the middle of a haunted forest. As you wander through the woods, you hear jingling. Okay, that seems sus. We ignore it and try to go around. You can't ignore the sound of the jingling because of your greedy gnomish heritage. Wait, what? There was one gnome in the party. We go around it. You walk towards the jingling and find a kobold merchant with a massive turtle, whose shell is his cart. We're in the middle of an abandoned haunted forest. How the... The kobold has all sorts of rare magic items. Cue an hour-long RP session. Same players as before. The rest of the table zones out pretty quickly, and starts trying to pet and befriend the turtle instead of engaging with the shop. The GM is getting obviously annoyed we aren't interested in shopping episode part 3. You can't do that. You aren't allowed to talk to or touch the turtle. Screw it. We keep trying to befriend the turtle. The barbarian gets close enough and goes to pet it. Angrily. Make a con save. Barbarian gets a 22 total. You fail and are petrified. The kobold and the turtle are an illusion. It's actually an ancient bronze dragon. We're level 6. Hell no, we're out. We leave and drag our stony friend along with us. You aren't strong enough to move the body. No checks, no ways to problem solve. You have to pay the dragon 250 GP and apologize to unpetrify barbarian. Otherwise, they need to roll a new character. Maybe some people should be a forever DM if they don't want to play when they get the opportunity. Please share your forever DM stories in the comments below. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content every Tuesday.